Good morning, happy Sabbath. Can everybody hear me clear through the mic? Everybody can hear me clearly? Okay. Before I get started, I would like everybody to bow their heads with me for another short prayer. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for another opportunity, Lord, for us to come upon this Sabbath day, Lord, and just forget about everything else. Lord, our work, stress, just the things that we get caught up in. And Father, we come before you and we ask you now that as I break open the word of life, that your Holy Spirit will be upon me. May everyone not see me, but see you working in me and speaking to their hearts. Father, help me to remember that this sermon was for me first and for me also to share it with others who shall hear me today. So I thank you for this opportunity and be with everyone who is in the congregation who shall hear my voice. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. The DPIC, Death Penalty Information Center, says that since 1976, 1,422 people have been given the death penalty here in America. 1,422 people have been given the death penalty here in America. Now, out of that 1,000, 16 of those have been women. The five methods that they have used to give people the death penalty was number one, firing squad. Number two, hanging. Three, gas chamber. Four, the electric chair. And the fifth one, the one that they use now, actually is lethal injection. Only three people have had the firing squad take them out, and they say only three people have been hung here officially now since 1973, and only 11 people have had the gas chamber, and 158 have been electrocuted. Everybody else has gotten lethal injection. I don't know about y'all, but I don't like the first four. Somebody can have bad aim. You hang, you suffocate. Gas chamber, that can be pretty painful. I definitely don't think too kindly of the thought of electricity running through my body either. So they've tried to make it a little more humane when they take people out of the death penalty now. But the reason I'm saying this is because here's the interesting thing. Do you know out of that number, 158 people were actually innocent? Now, these 158, they didn't actually die. They were exonerated before they actually had to, before they carried the sentence out. Now, folks, can you imagine what that's like to be on death row for a crime that you did not do? I mean, think about it for a minute. You sitting in jail for something that you did not do. Not only are you sitting in jail, but you got the death penalty? I can't think of any worse luck than that. There was one guy named Alan Jell. He was accused of murdering a department store guy, and he had to sit for 10 years. 10 years. And you can go online, you can look all this up, and they had a picture of him just getting married last year to his new wife. Another guy named Ryan Matthews and another guy named Harold Wilson. All of these guys experienced what it was like to go to court for a crime you did not do. No, you didn't do it. But all the evidence pointed against you, and you still got sentenced the death penalty. The reason I wanted to bring all this up, because 2,000 years ago, these guys laid a plot took Jesus to court and accused him of crimes that he did not commit. Now, folks, hear me out. Now, see, the thing they ran into was, first of all, how can we make him look guilty of crimes that we know as well as he knows that he didn't commit? And then on top of that, if by some miracle we are able to get him guilty, how do we get him the death penalty? Because think about it. You know, not too long before Jesus died, the Bible says, you know, people, they always popped off at the mouth at Jesus. You know, Jesus, you ain't this, you ain't that. You know, your mama, she this, she that. You got it, you know what I mean? All that stuff they say to him. And the Bible says one day Jesus turned around. He said, wait a minute. He said, which one of y'all can convict me of a sin? Now, keep in mind, crowds follow Jesus every day, all day. And he said, I want y'all to shut up for a minute. Now, which one of y'all can tell me of something I've ever did wrong? You know what the Bible says? Not one person could say anything. Now, you know what would happen if Terry stood up and said that? Depending on who around, I will get roasted. I mean, can you do that? Can you go around your family and your friends and people who you around every day and say, which one of y'all can convict me of something? They'll pull out a whole list. Where do you want me to start? You know, just go down the list. Just listen to all your issues and your problems. But think about it. This is the character of the type of guy that they were trying to find guilty and give him the death penalty. Think about it. Now, before I get into the sermon, I want to tell you how they did it. They did it through a guy named Pilate. And Pilate did something that we all are guilty of and that we like to do from time to time. And it's called compromise. Y'all know what compromise is? Compromise. And I know y'all saying, well, you know, Pilate didn't get anything like Judas. He didn't, you know, get no money. I mean, I don't recall Pilate ever even receiving anything for his verdict that he handed out for Jesus. But I'm telling you right now, oh yeah, he did. He got something, but you missed it. So is everybody with me? Now, here's the other thing. Was Pilate a Christian? No, Pilate wasn't a Christian. You know, I'm sure he probably heard about Jesus on the streets. He probably heard about the disciples. You know, he probably heard about the miracles and things that Jesus did. But you know, folks, hearing about something isn't the same thing as you actually really knowing about it. You get what I'm saying? But the first thing I wanted to take a look at was, did Pilate really know who was Jesus and really know who he was about? So with that being said, I want everybody to turn with me to John chapter 18, verses 28 through 31. John chapter 18, verses 28 through 31. All right, when you have it, say amen, so I know you're there. John chapter 18, verses 28 through 31. And like I said, keep in mind, we want to take a look at, did Pilate really know what was going on? Did he really know who Jesus was? All right, I'm going to start at verse 28. That's John chapter 18, verses 28 through 31. And listen to this. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. It was early in the morning, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring you against this man? What are the charges that y'all are bringing against this man? Verse 30, they answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Okay, wait a minute. Hold up. Y'all looking at me? No, I'm sorry. Is that a charge? Is that a charge? Or are they saying, come on, Pilate, if he was a criminal, we wouldn't have brought him. I'm sorry. Is that a charge? Imagine you going in the court, right? And the other lawyer, the judge say, okay, what's the charges you bring against him? The fact that he's here, the fact that they're here, they're a criminal. It doesn't make no sense, does it? That's the first clue, folks. I'm a judge. You bringing somebody to me and ask you what the charge, and you ain't no charge. You telling me they guilty because they in the courtroom. Then Pilate said unto them, man, y'all crazy. Take him and judge him according to your law. But then the Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put a man to death. wait a minute. So you get me out of my bed early in the morning and you bring this guy to me and I ask you what the charges are and you tell me that because he's in my courtroom this early in the morning, he's guilty and you trying to get the death penalty? Like I said, think about this trial, folks. Think about it. It's something you miss. Let's look at number two. Go to Matthew chapter 27, verse 18. Matthew 27, verse 18. Everybody there? What does that scripture say? For Pilate knew that for what? Not only do y'all charges not making any sense, but y'all envy is coming through during this particular court hearing and this trial. Let's take a look at another one. Go to Luke 23, verse 14 and 15. Luke 23, 14 and 15. Luke 23, 14 and 15. Y'all have it? Now, y'all still with me, right? Okay, look at verse 14. Then said Pilate unto them, you have brought this man unto me as one that perverts the people. And behold, I have what? What did Pilate do? He examined him. And Pilate said, I examined him before you. And have found no what? Have found no fault in this man according to those things whereof you have accused him. So let me ask y'all a question. Did Pilate know something was going on? Did he? He was a Christian, but he didn't know. He knew something was going on. But y'all want to know something else interesting? Now, before we even go into the rest of the story, now, if I go to court and I go before the judge, and the judge says, you know what, Mr. Perry, you are innocent. I find no fault in you. What should happen to the court? But from what we know, it didn't end, did it? Folks, y'all missed something. Something wasn't right about what they did with Jesus. Look at verse 16 in that same chapter. Let's take a look and see what something strange that happened. Look at what Pilate said. What did he say? Hey, Terry, I'm the judge. Before you walk out of court, even though you're guilty, I want you to take a beating before you go. Oh, does that make any sense? You see, right here is where Pilate compromised something. It was right here where he started negotiating with the people. You see, Pilate said, I know the man innocent, but you know what? I like y'all. I want to get on good terms with y'all. So let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'll beat him up for you a little bit. I'll rough Jesus up just a little bit. And see, the thing is, You know, when you play around with the devil like that, you know, and when you're around people who pick up your weakness, they smell blood. People can pick it up. And when that happened, go to John 19:12. Look at what the people said. John 19:12. What did they say? Verse 12, I'm going to read it. Y'all ready? And it says, and from henceforth, this part of the trial, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are not whose friend? Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Pilate, man, let me tell you something, man. We know we brought this guy to court. We ain't got no proof. We got no evidence. I'm glad you whooped on him a little bit. We appreciate that. But guess what? That ain't what we want. That's not enough. And guess what, man? If you don't do what we want, you're not our friend, and you're not the king's friend. Y'all ever hear that when y'all try to live a Christian life? When you're trying to live one way, and everybody else wants you to live the other way. You know, people want you to respect how they live, but they don't want to respect how you live. Y'all ever notice that? You know, people want you to honor how they live their life. Don't overstep my boundaries. Don't disrespect how I believe. But I can disrespect you and step on your boundaries all day long. See how the devil was working on Pilate? See, he overstepped the boundary. He just went right over it. And see, folks, let me tell you something else before I go along in the sermon. You know, the devil likes to use pressure. See, it's easy for everybody to be a Christian when you're sitting in church. It's when you walk out them doors is when the fight starts. You get what I'm saying? And guess what? You got to fight with family. You got to fight with friends. Sometimes you got to fight with church members inside the church. You got to fight everywhere. And see, the thing is, you know, when a Christian come to me and they tell me they blessed and highly favored and everything is going good, you know, it's easy to be faithful when everything is going your way. You know that, right? I can live holy too when I got all the money I want in my bank account, all my bills paid. You know, trying to live holy when your bill money add up more than what you got to, more than your, not your money. When you got to pay your tithes, your bill money up here and your tithe down here if you take it out. What about if somebody wants you to do something dirty on the job to get a promotion? You still hold your morality then? You see what I'm saying? It's easy to be a Christian when there's no pressure. And that's why the Bible says, you know, you got to times of peace. Anybody can do it in times of peace. It's when times of pressure, when things come on us, when we crack. And we break. And see, you ever study why rivers form like this? Because rivers follow the path of the least resistance. See, as a Christian, you can't do that. You gotta stay straight and narrow. Folks, you gotta go through. You gotta go against the grit. You can't always pick the easiest route. Jesus said, everybody that want to be saved, he said, straight is the road and narrow is the gate, and few people be there that find it. Now, how big did he say the road is to destruction? He said it's wide. He said everybody there. Everybody there. Folks, you on the road that you want to be on. And see, I'm going to tell you something else, too. When people are pressuring you, you have to always remember, you have to use the word. The ultimate example, when the devil tempted Jesus, What was Jesus' response to every question that he made against Jesus? What did he say? Oh, that's funny. He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. He didn't say, because I'm the Son of God and I can strike you with a lightning bolt right now if you don't get out of my face, devil. He said, no, it is written. And folks, look at the last temptation that Jesus went through. When you look at the last temptation, if you really think about it, all the temptations were kind of stupid in a sense, unless you really think about it. I mean, think about it. What's wrong with turning a rock into bread? That don't make any sense. What is the sin in turning a rock into bread? Then the second temptation, the Bible says it took Jesus on top of a high roof and said, jump off. I'm sorry. Are any of y'all tempted to jump off a high roof? Doesn't make any sense, right? The third temptation, the Bible says, Lucifer showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, you know what, Jesus? He said, guess what? Let me compromise something with you. He said, I'll tell you what. I know who you are. My demons know who you are. I tell you what, you already know what's going to happen to you. You know I'm going to throw you on a cross. You know I'm going to torture you. You know I'm going to kill you. That's going to happen. But I tell you what, I cut you a deal right now. If you bow down and worship me, you won't have to go through the cross. All the people you're trying to save, I'll hand them over to you. Folks, y'all don't think that was a hard thing for Jesus to do? Y'all didn't think Jesus was thinking about all the people that were dying at that very moment that he was trying to save? You don't think that wasn't a temptation of Jesus to not have to be tortured and killed just to save you? I mean, think about it. The devil came to him and said, you know what? Don't worry about it. I got you. But folks, it was a trick. Was he really going to give him everything? No. Now, folks, are y'all following me? Y'all see where I'm going with this? Now, in the last days, and I'm going to go on with the sermon, but just hear me out on this. When you read Spirit of Prophecy, folks, and talks about the last days, all of us read Revelation, and we read about the beast. We read about the death penalty being enacted on everybody all over the world. We read about Christians are going to be running for their lives. Do you know Spirit of Prophecy say a lot of us won't even make it that far? Because there's going to be this little time called the little time of trouble. And you know what that means? It means before they actually enact the death penalty, folks, the whole world is going to turn against you because they're going to know you a Christian. So when you go to your job, how long can you deal with people talking trash to you every day, saying you're the reason that the world is having all these problems, but you actually living according to the Bible? Can you deal with going to go see your family every day and everybody's down your throat? Can you imagine when they start fining you for living like a Christian? Take your car, take your house. I mean, think about it. We all talking about, oh man, I'll lay down my life for the Lord. They'll be like, some of y'all be crying when y'all can't pay y'all bills, let alone talking about getting that far and giving y'all life up. See, the pressure is what's going to crack a lot of people. I mean, we think we can, folks, if you can't live for Jesus during times of peace and right now, you trying to tell me you're going to stand up to a death penalty? No, you will not. That's not how it works. You get what I'm saying? See, we want to do the great thing, but then fail on all the little tests. It doesn't work like that. You got to be faithful in the little test. Then when you get to the big test, you're going to pass that. That's how it works. And see, another thing too, you know what the challenge is to all Christians in the last days in the Revelation? The devil's challenge to every Christian is, oh yeah, they in church now. Nah, they listen to all that stuff. But for lack of food and lack of clothing, every last one on this popping off at the mouth will follow me. Everybody can be a Christian when they have what they need. But I'm going to take away your needs. When I take away all your earthly support, and I take away your food, and I take away your clothing, when your child looking at you in your face and want something to eat, when your parents and people depending upon you want something to eat, you're going to sit there and tell them, well, I'm going to stick to the word of God. When they're looking at you like that, you know what kind of pressure that is? Read about some of the people who died for Jesus. I read about a lady one time. She had a couple kids, and the people came up to her, and they said, deny Christ. She said, no. I can't imagine what that's like as a parent to watch that happen in front of me. And you know what they did? When you go back and read the story, they ended up killing all her kids, but she held firm to it, folks. Because you know what she knew? God can raise me and my kids. She never forgot that. You get what I'm saying? But see, the thing is, think about the situations. Think about the pressure that you'll be put up under. Think about how we make mistakes and we fail every day, even now, on little stuff. And now you're getting an idea, oh man, Pilate's stupid. Guess what? You ain't far from Pilate. I'm not far from Pilate. I do the same thing Pilate does every day. So instead of standing for what was right, instead of being strong, Pilate tried to compromise with him again. Go to Luke 23:17. I want y'all to see something. Luke 23:17. All right, I'm going to read something to you. This was a custom that they had when they wanted to have a prisoner release. It said, for necessity, he must release one unto them at their feast, because the Jews was getting ready to have a feast. And as a pretty much a token of appreciation, I'm just showing, hey, you know, I'm going to look out for y'all. I'm going to release a prisoner for you. And I'm going to go ahead and read something. And it says, and they all cried out at once, saying, away with this man. And give us, does it say Jesus or does it say another name? Give us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and was a murderer and was cast into prison. Sedition is like an insurrection. It says, Pilate therefore willing to release Jesus. Notice Pilate's like, wait a minute. That's I was thinking that y'all was gonna let Jesus go, but y'all want me to put Barabbas back on the street? So then it says in verse 21, but they cried saying, crucify him, crucify him. Verse 22, and he said unto them the third time, what has this guy done? I find no cause of death in him. I will therefore whoop him again. Man, can you imagine Jesus right now? Man, y'all done beat me already. I mean, come on now. I mean, if I was in court, I would just go ahead. Don't worry about you, Your Honor. I'm just going to start tying a noose around my neck. I mean, because folks, it doesn't make any sense. Paul says, you know what? I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna beat him again for you. And then it says, and they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and the chief priests prevailed. Oh, let me show y'all something. Listen to this. Pilate, instead of standing firm, he kept negotiating. And when he kept negotiating, you know, you actually make things worse when you sacrifice truth to try to go along with the crowd. And see, now he done took the innocent Son of God. He done pronounced him not guilty. But yet you still whoop the man. And then trying to save Jesus, but trying to please the people, you end up putting a notorious murderer out there on the streets now. Y'all see how we do when we try to work things out on our own? Guess what Pilate did? He just made the situation 10 times worse. Y'all feel bad for this guy? Y'all like, nah, he's being stupid. I mean, but folks, we do the same thing. We do the same thing. How many of us try to help God out instead of waiting on him? We want something, so we try to go and take it early. Maybe a reason why God wants you to wait before you get something. Maybe he know you're not ready for it yet. You see, church, one bad decision leads to another bad decision. And see, y'all done seen all the Easter stories. Y'all done seen all the stories about Jesus' crucifixion. But there's one thing that they never really talk about. Go to Matthew chapter 27, verse 19. I want y'all to see something. Even after all of this, Pilate still had got a warning. Matthew 27, verse 19. Y'all bear with me a little longer. I'm almost done. Matthew 27:19. Y'all there? Listen to this. And when he was set down on his judgment seat. Now, you got to think about it now. You imagine, put yourself in Pilate's shoes. You're like, man, I'm messing up. I'm just, ain't nothing going right for me. His wife sent unto him saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for how I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. You know, folks, they never show that in the movies. They never show that in the pictures. But when Pilate was messing up and he sat down on his seat, the Bible says God gave Pilate's wife a dream where she dreamed about your husband getting ready to crucify the Son of God. And the Bible says she immediately sent a messenger to Pilate. Said, baby, honey, don't do it. I don't know everything about that man, but you better not let that man die. Now, folks, you know he turned white as snow when he got there, right? But you see how even though Pilate wasn't a Christian, he didn't claim to be a Christian. But look how God was showing him stuff. Look how God was showing him stuff. You know how we always say everybody else in the world who ain't a Christian, we think God don't speak to them and the Holy Spirit don't work with them? Pilate is an example of that. God works with people. They may not know everything, but he's working with them. He said, look, man, he ain't listening to nobody else. I'm going to let his wife know. Warn this man. Let this man know something. Now, folks, y'all know what Pilate did after that, don't you? Go to verse 24. Look what he did. What did he do? It says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Check this out, right? What is the only way Jesus could have got the death penalty, right? If Pilate said he was supposed to die. So this man gonna take a bowl of water. He stick his hands in the water and wash his hands and say, he's innocent, by the way, but y'all do what y'all want to do with him. Wow, man, you see how we justify things that we do? We do stuff and then we try to wash our hands like, I really didn't do it. That's crazy, right? Y'all follow me on this? Y'all seen what Pilate had to deal with? Y'all seen the mistakes that he made? Now, I'm going to tell y'all something, and I'm getting ready to end it. I'm going to tell y'all why Pilate gave in. I'm going to tell you what he wanted and what he got. There's three scriptures that tell you everything Pilate got for what he did. Go to Mark 15:15 and listen what it says. Mark 15:15. Y'all in verse 15? And listen to what it says. And so Pilate, willing to do what? Say that again. Willing to please other people. Satisfy other people. Release Barabbas unto them. Gave them a killer. And then delivered Jesus after he had already beat him to be crucified. If you read Luke 23:12, it says after that, Pilate also made a new friend with another dirty judge. And if you read Luke 23:24, it says Pilate gave in to their will and gave them as they desired so that he could be on good terms with the people. Y'all know what the moral the story is? Don't trade Jesus, the word of God, for other people. Folks, Pilate, because he wanted to please everybody else, he gave up Jesus. How many of us give up Jesus because we want to make other people in our life happy? How many of us don't act like a Christian because we don't want to make other people feel uncomfortable? How many of us keep our mouth shut when we should open our mouth about certain issues? See, we laugh at Pilate. But we become Pilate every day. You can stand in judgment like, you an idiot. He can say the same thing about you. You an idiot too. You're in the same place I'm at. Because apparently you gave up Jesus for something else too. If you go to Luke 14, there's a parable. I got one more scripture after this. And I'm going to close. Luke 14. 16 through 20. Luke 14, 16 through 20. And after this, I have one more scripture, and then I'll close it out. Now, y'all see it? Y'all know this parable, right? It says, verse 16, Luke 14, 16 through 20. Now, folks, this is every reason why people, every reason you can think of, no matter where you are in the world, these are the three reasons that Jesus gave why people will not come to him. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian. It doesn't matter if you belong to any particular church. You will fall under these three categories when it comes to, Jesus says, when it comes to me, because I created all human beings, I know exactly why every person is going to deny me. And there's only three. So you will fall up under these three categories. Verse 16 says, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time, saying to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Folks, that just means Jesus got heaven prepared. And so he sends his church and his people out to say, hey, go and tell everybody. I want everybody to come to heaven. And look at verse 18. And they all with one consent began to make what? Excuses. Now here it comes. Jesus getting ready to explain every excuse every person in the world is going to ever get who never accepts him. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go see it. I pray, have me excused. Wait a minute. You already bought the ground, but now you got to go see it to see it whether it's good or not. Don't you do that before you buy it. Folks, the first excuse makes no sense. You know what it's really saying? Jesus says the first rule why a lot of people will never accept me is because their minds are preoccupied with something else in this world. First excuse makes no sense. Jesus says some people just don't care about church. They don't want nothing to do with church. They ain't thinking about God. They're not thinking about their salvation. They don't care what happened to them when they die. Jesus says, I hate to say it, but guess what? Some people are just like that. Your mind is occupied with something else besides me. Your excuse makes no sense. Second excuse. 19. And the other guy said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray, have me excused. But I know what y'all thinking. What y'all thinking is, that sounds just like the first guy. That's because the second guy couldn't even come up with a good excuse. He just really didn't care, so he said anything. Either your mind is preoccupied with something else, or you just don't care. Excuse number 2. I mean, folks, you can say what you want, but that's when people stand in the judgment. My mind was somewhere else. God, you was the last thing I was thinking about, being honest. Some people are going to stand in judgment. Other people are going to stand before God in the judgment. Lord, I just didn't care about you. I didn't think you was real. I didn't think everything you said was true. I thought all the Bible and all that stuff and all the Christians, I just didn't care about none of it. Folks, these are things people are going to say in the judgment. Jesus is letting us know the three excuses. Look at the last excuse. Last excuse. And another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. What, she can't come too? You know what this excuse represents? Everybody who allows somebody else to keep them from coming to heaven. The three excuses. Your mind is either somewhere else. Second excuse, either you just don't care. Or third excuse, you let somebody else stop you from coming. You know, friends keep friends from being Christians. Parents keep kids from being Christians. Kids keep parents from being Christians. You can go down the list, folks. It don't matter. People stop people from coming to Jesus. Church folks stop people from coming to Jesus sometimes. Our examples run people away from the church sometimes. See, it's interesting how Jesus always laid everything out plain and simple for everybody to see. Jesus said, look, I don't care where you at in the world, I don't care who you believe in, I'm the one that created you. I got a message for you. That's why I always say, folks, the thing that stands out about Christianity is you don't see other missionaries from other religions going all over the world to reach people. If your God is the God that created me, bring me his message so I can know who he is. That's why the Bible says the end won't come until our message goes around the whole world, because God is a God of fairness. I want everybody to know who I am before I end the whole thing. Folks, how much sense does that make? Jesus said, I don't care how long the world here, it ain't going to come to the end until everybody's had opportunity. Those are Jesus' words. You get what I'm saying? So, like I said, sometimes just stand back and think about these things. Think about some of the things that, you know, that God says. Don't let other people tell you what they think about God and then go off of you. A lot of people talk bad about God, they don't know nothing about him. They ain't even cracked their Bible open, but they want to tell you everything bad about him. And see, folks, a lot of times, God put up with a lot of stuff he don't need to. For some reason, he like for you and me to go and tell other people about him, and we some of the worst representatives in the world. But folks, that's his method. He want everybody to see that everybody can get to the same place, regardless of your past, regardless of what you have dealt with. Last scripture, and I'm going to sit down, Galatians 5:7. The Bible asks everybody the same question. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. The Bible asks everybody the same question. And we all going to read it together. Yeah, there? Galatians 5, verse 7. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Everybody there? All right, let's read it together. And it says, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Just like Pilate, are you willing to let other people tell you what you should do and how you should live your life? Or are you making your own decisions? So who is it that's keeping you from doing what's right? Amen.